Next is an excerpt from an initiation lecture given on Jamastami, 1998, in Inishroth, Ireland.
In the chapter 2 called Prayers by the Demigods. And this is a description just at the time when the Lord appeared within Vasudev. Then, of course, he was transferred from Vasudev, from his mind or from his heart, to the mind and heart of Devaki. And then later he was born, like an ordinary child. But his conception, it wasn't conception like a material conception by the semina of a man. So this appearance of the Lord is what I'm describing. While carrying the form, I'll back up and read one more before that. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul of all living entities, and who vanquishes all the fear of his devotees, entered the mind of Vasudeva in full opulence. While carrying the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart, Vasudeva bore the Lord's transcendentally illuminating effulgence. And thus he became as bright as the sun. He was therefore very difficult to see or approach through sensory perception. Indeed, he was unapproachable and imperceivable, even for such formidable men as Kamsa, not only for Kamsa, but for all living entities. Next verse. Thereafter, accompanied by plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudeva, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness for everyone, the cause of all causes, within the core of her heart, just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon. All of these pastimes of the appearance of Krishna, and for that matter, all of Krishna's pastimes that he performed, were all actually done on this earth planet that we're living on. Although Krishna is completely transcendental, he comes into this material world. So these pastimes are eternal. They're going on all the time in different universes, and they go from one universe to another. So this, and within this universe, they take place on this materially insignificant planet called the Earth planet. So that happened 5,000 years ago. Krishna walked the Earth and appeared here. And now he's going on somewhere else, somewhere else, somewhere else. That's the, you could say, astronomical situation of his appearance. And then, what is the meaning of it? Who is Krishna, and why does he appear? So, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in one sense, he has no reason to appear within the material energy. It's not a place of pleasure pastimes for the Lord. But he has particular mission to come here. As is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Yida yida hi dharmasya glani bhaviti bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam trijamya. I come into this world when there is a decrease in religion. I come to uphold religion. I come to protect the saintly persons and to destroy the demons. And even that reason doesn't require Krishna's personal presence. He can do that. He can annihilate demons just by blowing a hurricane. And the devotees can get solace just by remembering Krishna. chanting his holy names. So then the more confidential reason is expressed by the Lord. And Prabhupada gives it in the introduction to the Krishna book. He says, Krishna comes into this world to enact his Vrindavan pastimes just to attract all living entities to come back to Godhead. So he performs the original the same pastimes that are going on in the spiritual planet. I mentioned in the beginning that whatever Krishna did here on the earth, he goes on in a kind of a perpetual road show doing the different planets in the material universe. But aside from that mercy, the Lord has his own abode in the spiritual world, which is completely different than the material world. And there his pastimes are always going on. So to show those pastimes, that's why he comes into the world, especially the Vrindavan pastime. Now, if we can understand this, what is the benefit to us? Krishna says, janma kama cha me divyam evam yo viditat tata chakva deham punar janma naiti mamiti sojana. Anyone who can understand the nature of my janma, my birth, and my activities, everything else I do once I'm born, when that person dies, he does not have to be born again. He becomes eternal. He does not have to continue in the material world. He returns to the spiritual world just by virtue of knowing Krishna's pastimes. But that's to actually know them, not just have heard about them. Or so many people, especially in India, everybody knows Krishna's pastimes. Like Janmashtami is a big holiday for everybody, just like Christmas in the West. But who knows the spiritual significance of these events? So to know Krishna's appearance in truth requires a life of devotion to Krishna. But nevertheless, this is the statement that if you understand how these pastimes that will be read today that comprise a few chapters of the Krishna book, hear them nicely, understand what Krishna does, and then all his activities, go on hearing about Krishna, this can bring us the supreme perfection. So this appearance of Krishna, there's also another way to understand it. So far I've described it in terms of Krishna himself and our learning about it and observing it or watching it. Krishna and the eternal associates of Krishna, like who play parts of being his parents or his friends and so on. That doesn't include us, does it? We're kind of left out of it. The appearance of Krishna, we hear about it now. So another way to understand Krishna is in terms of an individual's receiving Krishna or coming to realize Krishna within himself, so that we can say in the language of a birth and appearance, so that Krishna is born within you, or that Krishna appears within you. Otherwise, If you know about that other person, God, appearing in the world, it may not actually affect you. So some of the Vaishnavacharyas have described this, how Krishna can appear within us. This idea was also expressed in other religious traditions. It was expressed by one Christian mystic in the 14th century, Meister Eckhart. In fact, it was his main idea. And in the Christian tradition, the equivalent of Janmashtami is Christmas, when Jesus Christ is born. So So in one Christmas sermon, Eckhart said, "Here in time, we are celebrating the eternal birth which God the Father bore and bears unceasingly in eternity, because this same birth is now born in time, in human nature. St. Augustine says, 'What does it avail me that this birth is always happening if it does not happen in me? That it should happen in me is what matters.' We shall therefore speak of this birth, of how it may take place in us and be consummated in the virtuous soul whenever God the Father speaks his eternal word in the perfect soul." So it doesn't automatically take place in everyone. It only can take place in a very qualified person. Now, there are some significant words in Sanskrit that help us understand this. One is Dhamma, like we use it in the Vrindavan Dham, Mayapur Dham. But it doesn't only refer to, like you may think, of just a physical locality of the spiritual holy place, especially in India. Here's Prabhupada writing about this in a purport. The word Dhamma is significant. Dhamma refers to the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. For example, Vrindavan Dham, Dwarka Dham, Mathura Dham, because in these places, the name, fame, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Godhead are always present. Similarly, if one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do something, the core of his heart becomes a Dham. This is exactly my point. As Krishna appeared in Mathura, the Dham, he can appear in a person, Dham. Mathura was very special, and you have to be very special also. But it's possible. This is not impossible. Two other important terms here are Vasudev and Shudashattva. Vasudev is the name of Krishna's father. So in a sense, we can't become him. We're persons, and he's a person. But Vasudev is also used in a general sense as the place, or the state wherein Krishna will appear. That specifically or individually applies to that person, Vasudev, but like the word Dham, it's a state. Wherever Vasudev occurs, Krishna will come there. And Prabhupada uses the word Vasudev and Shudashattva like equivalent words. Shudashattva means pure spiritual state that descends from God, the blessed state of pure God consciousness. It's a state that we can't achieve by our own efforts, but when God is pleased with us, power or this mercy descends on us, and we receive the Shudashattva. So these are prerequisites, and as soon as they're present, then Krishna will come there. He won't come when the heart is dirty, but when it's Vasudeva Shudashattva. I have a little statement of this from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where there's a very similar situation on Lord Chaitanya's birth, where Lord Chaitanya's father, Jagannath Mishra, first receives the Lord in his heart, and then by meditation, he holds him there, and then he transfers him to his wife, the eternal mother of the Lord. And that transference is called Diksha. This is when the spiritual master transfers knowledge. So it's a very similar description as the transference of Lord Krishna from Vasudeva to Devaki. And Prabhupada comments how these persons who can do this, their hearts are always pure, they never forget Krishna. So How is it possible for that to happen to us? Well, first you have to purify your heart. And then you can come to the transcendental position. He says, when the heart is uncontaminated, it is said to be in the existential position of Vasudeva. Vasudeva can beget Vasudeva, or Krishna, who is transcendentally situated. Now we can look within and see why Krishna is not on Janmashtami or any day. Why he's not appearing in me? It's because there's an unclean state. I don't want him to appear even. I'm not doing that which would make him welcome to come into my heart. And these dirty things, they can be called unwanted or unarthas. And one place in the scripture where this is described is the cleansing of the Gundicha temple in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. At the Ratiyatra time in Jagannath Puri, the Lord Jagannath goes from the Jagannath Puri temple to another temple, not very far away. That's what the procession is. The procession goes from Jagannath temple to Gundicha temple. So every year they clean the altar in the Gundicha temple before Lord Jagannath comes. So this one year Lord Chaitanya took part in it with his devotees. And he cleaned and cleaned and cleaned. He led the way. They did very thorough cleaning, first with getting the big pieces of dirt and dust. And he praised those devotees who got the most dust. And those who didn't get much dust, he said, what's the matter? Why are you not working? And he himself, he got more dust than anybody else. So this was dust that you can get with brooms. Just like when you clean a dirty room, you don't first throw some water down. First you have to clean the major dirt. But then after that, then they cleaned with water. So and then he dried it off with his own cloth and different cloths until it was polished. Very beautiful. So while this was going on, then there's a commentary about this, what the Acharya was doing. He wasn't only teaching good cleaning habits, cleanliness is next to godliness, but there's a symbolic teaching there that you have to clean your heart. And the teacher, he should clean his heart and show the students how to clean their hearts. So there are so many different things. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions the different desires we have for fame and how these get worse and worse. Envy, getting some material profit out of devotional service, duplicity, cheating. So many dirty things in our heart have to be cleaned. So this is a daily business. But I thought it would be nice, since today we have so many special activities, that along with the outer activities, I say outer, but they're all transcendental, but we can not just get caught up in going here on time and going there on time, but can have an inner meditation of trying to make your heart like Vasudeva, so that by the time of midnight, when Krishna appears, he can appear in you. Now, I can't expect everyone to have some miraculous transformation in one day, but perhaps it can be a time that you can think of some little things, at least, that you could change in your life so that Krishna will, you will feel Krishna within you. It must have been so wonderful, we can't even imagine how those devotees felt when Krishna was, Vasudeva and Devaki, when Krishna was within them and nothing bad could touch them. So we also should prepare ourselves like that. Now, I'd like to take this a little further, discussing about the appearance of Krishna. Taking from Prabhupada's purports about Janmashtami, or Krishna's Janma. Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, and in his particular form, but he also then appeared 500 years ago, approximately, as Lord Chaitanya. And as Lord Chaitanya, he only stayed 48 years, but at that time, he delivered another form of himself, the form of the Lord in the holy name, which is another appearance of Krishna. And this connects to my point about how we want to cleanse ourselves. To cleanse the anarthas, the main positive thing to do is to do this cleaning by chanting. Chaita darpanam marjanam bhagamaha devagni nirvarpanam. Chanting will clean the heart. So this is Krishna is appearing in the world. And in the purports, as Prabhupada wrote them in 1977, he repeatedly said, he was writing about Krishna's appearing in Mathura, but he repeatedly referred to another appearance of Krishna. I've spoken of two appearances, Krishna in Mathura, which is what we mostly mean when we say Janmastami, appearing in Mathura and then being transferred to Yasoda's house by Vasudeva. And then I've spoken about Krishna appearing in our hearts. Now here's another appearance of Krishna. Prabhupada's writing about the conditions that were going on at that time, 5,000 years ago. And he says it's still going on, that the demons are causing havoc. Because of the present world situation, Krishna has descended in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is quite natural, for without the Krishna consciousness movement, the world cannot be peaceful and happy. And then again, he makes the same point. At present, various demoniac states all over the world are increasing their military power in many ways, and the whole situation has become distressful. Therefore, Krishna has appeared by his name in the Hare Krishna movement, which will certainly diminish the burden of the world. Another one. Men who are like Kamsa are afraid of this movement's progress and acceptance by the younger generation. But as Krishna could not be killed by Kamsa, this movement cannot be checked by men of Kamsa's class. The movement will go on increasing more and more, provided the leaders of the movement remain firmly Krishna conscious by following the regulative principles and the primary activities of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra regularly. So this is a bold assertion that Krishna appears in the Hare Krishna movement. Is there any water for drinking? Quoting Prabhupada, I put this in a book that I wrote in 1980, a Japa Reform notebook, and one of the Goswamis in Vrindavan, he wrote an objection. He said, why are you saying that Krishna appears in ISKCON? And I replied to him that I wasn't saying that he only appears in ISKCON. He appears in many places. But I was quoting my spiritual master that Prabhupada says that Krishna is incarnated in this movement. However, although that's a bold assertion, here Prabhupada states there's a condition for it. We can't just be complacent and say, yes, Krishna has taken birth in ISKCON. But he says that provided leaders of the movement be very Krishna conscious and by following the primary activities of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Again, for Krishna to appear, we have to be make it ready for him and nice for him. And one more of these references where Prabhupada is updating the situation, but showing that it's basically the same as it was when Kamsa was ruling. These are bad times in Kali Yuga. And when there's a bad time, then Krishna appears. Every one of us who is actually afraid of the Asuric rulers and politicians must welcome this incarnation of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The entire world is in a precarious condition, and the only hope is this Hare Krishna movement. Lord Nrsimhadeva appeared when Prahlad was excessively harassed by his Asuric father. Because of such Asuric fathers, that is, the ruling politicians, it is very difficult to press forward the Hare Krishna movement. But because Krishna has now appeared in his holy name through this movement, we can hope that these Asuric fathers will be annihilated and the kingdom of God established all over the world. So initiation is a very important act for making ourselves purified and asking Krishna to come into our hearts. Without proper initiation, you cannot chant Hare Krishna properly, and you're like a ship without a rudder. So we are all happy that these devotees here have become serious enough and qualified. Not that today they become purified completely, but initiate means to begin. That they begin their purification in all seriousness to become completely Krishna conscious in this lifetime. And the main method is the chanting of Hare Krishna and being fully engaged in Krishna's service. I will now follow the tradition that Prabhupada established by reciting the 10 offenses and chanting the holy names, so that especially the devotees who are being initiated can hear them, and we all can hear them. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to spreading the holy names all over the world. The second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Brahma or Shiva to be independent or equal to the holy name of the Lord. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. Fifth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be imagination. Sixth offense is to make some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. When each devotee comes up and receives their beads, I will ask them, what are the four rules? And they'll say, and then they'll say, well, here's your beads, chant 16 rounds. So these things go together. If they don't go together, if you chant 16 rounds or 60 rounds or 6 rounds, but you don't follow the four rules, if you commit illicit sex, and especially after intoxication, after vowing not to, then that's the seventh offense in chanting. Thinking, oh, good, I have the Hare Krishna mantra, I will chant, but I will not follow this injunction. That's sometimes called the worst offense. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be materialistic, pious act, like the Karmakandiya acts in the Vedas. The ninth offense is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. The tenth offense is not to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after hearing so much about them. And it is also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. Hare Krishna. All right, so now, one by one, I'll ask the devotees to come up. Well, first I'll call on Bhakta Marcello. So, Bhakta Marcello has come to North Ireland before. He's from Portugal, and now he's serving in ISKCON in Spain, New Brajamandala. And so I met him when I was traveling and preaching in Spain, and he had already been reading my books. And So he sincerely asked me to give him initiation, and I sincerely said no. That I wasn't initiating anymore. And at that time, it was almost like absolute. I just wasn't taking any more disciples, so I didn't have to consider him as an individual. I just say, I'm not doing it. So, but in a quiet way, he persisted and continued to write me letters and convince me, not just by the letters, but by his good behavior and doing whatever he thought was necessary to get the initiation. He got some nice offers for service to go to Brazil and to go to India, but he thought this will not be the most conducive thing for my leading to my initiation. So he stayed in nearby Spain with devotees who I know, and especially one of the leading devotees there, Yadunandan, gives him a good recommendation. Although Bhakta Marcello is a young devotee, he's already attracted to lecturing and presenting Krishna consciousness in an educational way from Prabhupada's books to newcomers. And so this is auspicious that he can learn these books and present them and lead the life that's taught in the books. What are the four rules? All right. And every day, chant at least 16 rounds. Now your spiritual name is Mukunda Das.